Welcome to this episode of The Good Fork with host Diana Edelman of Vegans Baby. We're bringing you interesting conversations, interesting people with a plant-based twist. Hello, welcome to The Good Fork podcast. On today's episode, I'm chatting with Jennifer Stoykovich, the founder of Vegan Woman Summit. Originally from Canada, she's been in the U.S. for nearly a decade. Her career has been in tech and government relations, where she's worked closely with the world's biggest tech brands, along with getting involved in advocacy, lobbying, and PR. In the last 2 years, she's brought that work into the food tech field and worked to brand and partner tech companies with emerging vegan brands. Today, we're talking about all of that, plus discussing women's empowerment and entrepreneurship. I also want to point out that since the pandemic, she's moved her speakers online and has been leading the way in important conversations regarding intersectionality and veganism and so much more. I'm very excited to have Jennifer on the program today. Jennifer Stoykovich from Vegan Women's Summit with me today. Jenny, thank you so much for being a part of this. I am so happy to have you on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me and for nailing my last name. Congratulations.
Yes, I try. Sometimes I can butcher them. I'm glad that the first go was good. So you have like the coolest background ever. You know, you run the Vegan Woman Summit, but your background isn't anything really to do with it. Can we talk a little bit about like what you've done in the past and how you got to running this amazing summit?
Yeah, absolutely. Where do you want to start?
Oh my God. Well, let's just take it back to where you came before, what you were doing before you launched this.
All right. I'm originally from Canada. So hello to my fellow Canadians. I know that there's at least a few of you out there. I've been in the U.S. for almost a decade now, for 9 years or so, and I have this very interesting kind of background. When I was still in Canada, I did venture capital, and then when I hopped over to America, I worked in public charities for 4 years, and I kind of thought there should be a connecting point. There's really missing, like a fulcrum missing between these two pieces, and when I moved out to San Francisco, I got involved with the tech industry and working in public policy and government relations and really kind of bridging together that community piece. And so for the last 4 years, I was doing tech advocacy, government relations, working with kind of the biggest tech companies in the city. Pretty much the easiest way to explain it is if you open up your phone and it's an app, I probably know them. Wow. And, you know, that's kind of what my day-to-day looks like. And so it's really given me an interesting perspective into the political world. I've been able to work with all kinds of amazing politicians, including some vegan politicians like Cory Booker, Assemblymember Calra over here in California. I've also been, you know, obviously working very closely in the tech industry, meeting lots of CEOs and VCs. And I really kind of began to see, separate from my vegan journey, but through my career, began to see that food tech was becoming the new tech industry. And so I found that very interesting. And so I really see the Vegan Women's Summit as kind of a stepping off point to, you know, do a number of things, one of them being bringing more women into the field, getting more funding to women, and really kind of hopefully not making the same mistakes that the tech industry before it made, and just kind of becoming the new big thing. I think food was fringe for a really long time, and I don't think that the food tech industry has that same fate. And I really kind of think that people need to start seeing these entrepreneurs as like the new Zuckerbergs and Dorseys and things like that.
So when you talk about food tech, can you explain a little bit about what that is?
Sure. So food tech to me is really just using technology to innovate in the food system.
Okay.
So to me, you know, the two pieces that I primarily focus my time on is the innovation of plant-based protein and the ecosystem around it, as well as the innovation into cell-based meats.
Wow. Okay. Okay. The cell-based meats really fascinates me. I had Al Mancini on the other weekend. He's a reporter for the Review Journal, and we were talking about it. And what are your thoughts on it? Just, I know you're vegan, so like, what do you think about it?
Well, I think it's not for me.
Yes.
You know, I think that's the most important thing that we need to understand is that, you know, capitalism and innovation has really solved a lot of the unsustainable practices that we've done throughout our, you know, the last few hundred years on the planet. And unfortunately, everybody that wakes up on a daily basis, the first thing that they think of is what is accessible and what is convenient.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to be really realistic about what it means to shifting people to not consuming animals. And unfortunately, animal agriculture is convenient, it is accessible, it is tasty. And so yeah. I think that cell-based meat is really just kind of a shortcut to us getting animals off the plate.
Yeah.
I've seen some interesting studies kind of come out. You know, people are saying if we do a really, really good job within 50 years, we could get maybe 20% of the population vegan and the other 80% on cell-based meat. And, you know, to me, that's a win.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, saving animals' lives, like first and foremost, should be the goal. And then obviously the earth and everything that comes after that. But I think cell-based meat is an innovative solution that's going to get us there much, much, much faster.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. Why did you go vegan?
So I have an interesting story about going vegan. So I went vegan just over half a decade ago. And veganism to me actually came out of a spiritual path. So I unfortunately went through a tragedy. My husband and I did. There was an act of gun violence that took a loved one, my husband's best friend, from us. And, you know, in going through that entire process, when you get shaken by that kind of tragedy, you really, really start to take a look at the world around you and start kind of peeling back the pieces of what does it mean to be a human? What does it mean to suffer? Yeah. You know, what does it mean to forgive? What does it mean to find compassion? And we actually, it was a murder, unfortunately. And, through this journey of trying to understand how to find compassion in such a senseless, horrible act, I really started to feel compassion for a lot more around me. And so it really started to awaken a part of me, something that I'd never really considered before. I'd never really thought about my footprint on the world. And so, you know, long story short, that the obvious way to live a more compassionate life, I think is definitely your dinner plate. I think it's the easiest, quickest way to make a positive impact on the world. And so in going through that kind of grieving process and coming out of that, I just said, you know, I need to remove myself from suffering. I've suffered. It's not a great thing to go through. And I want to make sure that I remove suffering as quickly and easily as possible. And so going vegan and removing animal exploitation and the use of animals from my daily life was a very cleansing and very beneficial thing for me. And I think that I have the typical vegan regret. The only thing I regret is not going vegan sooner.
Yeah, I understand that. I feel you on that. I've been vegan for 4.5 years. So, you know, for so many years, I used to do, you know, I used to work with elephants. And so when I was there, I wasn't vegan, but I was around a lot of vegan people, but I always thought it would just be so hard. And then once I finally made the full transition, because I haven't eaten meat for 8 years, but once I made the transition, I was like, oh, that, you know, that's not nearly as hard as I thought. And, you know, why didn't I do it sooner? Because, you know, it's every day you hear more and more things, especially about animal agriculture is absolutely terrible and I hate it. But then, you know, as your eyes are open and you start paying more attention, you just see all the other things going on in the world and how being vegan impacts all of those things, or not being vegan, you know, in regards to the environment and things like that, like this path we're on. So,
absolutely,
you know, definitely, I wish I would have done it sooner, but I'm so grateful that I did. And I'm so grateful you went vegan, because now you've really emerged as a leader in the vegan community, to be able to bring together this women's summit. It's phenomenal. Cause I see a lot of the time, in the vegan plant-based world, there are a lot of women leaders, but they typically fall into the background, and it's typically a lot of men that are speaking, that are sharing their stories, and not as many women. And you're really working to put females and women in that spotlight. Why did you choose a vegan women's summit versus just a summit in general?
So I think it's just absolutely insane that the majority of vegans in this world, you know, upwards of what, 80%, depending on the study that you look at, are women, right? And so the market for the vegan industry is predominantly driven by women and women's purchasing decisions. Yet every single time you hear about this new innovation, you know, God bless the Browns and all the amazing, you know, men that are out there creating these products, but it's always men. And it makes no sense that these products that are created largely for women consumers are produced by men.
Yeah.
And so I really see that piece as, and that in, actually, and to add on to that, the other thing is the nonprofit industry. You know, we have some incredible animal welfare nonprofits. And yet when you look at some of the largest nonprofits in the world, as soon as you get to over a $10 million budget, there's almost no female CEOs. Yet in America, do you know what percent of nonprofit professionals are female?
I would guess the majority.
75%.
Wow.
Three out of four women, you know, and so you think about that again, all of these organizations that are doing tremendous work are powered by women, largely for women, yet the people at the top are men.
Yeah.
And it just seems so obvious that this is something that needs to change. And, you know, even like going into the layers beyond that, the representation within women of color, you know, that's even worse. If you find a female vegan leader, it's often going to be a white female vegan leader. And so there's just so much that is not being represented right now. I thought that this just seemed like this is the movement that needed to start. And I'm really glad that, you know, we sold out like immediately and launched right before the pandemic, luckily.
When
we could still see each other in person.
I have to tell you, when I first heard about it, I was devastated that I couldn't go because I had to be in New York that weekend. And I heard about it and I was just like, oh, this is amazing. Because Jody Monell from Live Kindly, her and I talk about this all the time, about how just women are so underrepresented, and just see a summit like this where it's just all celebrating the women and all the work that they've accomplished I was so impressed and so excited for it.
Awesome. That's great to hear. You know, and this summit was our inaugural kickoff, but we have so much more planned. This is really like this is a global, you know, media and events organization. We have, unfortunately we had to put a pin in a couple of those plans because of, you know, things going on right now, but we have been able to, you know, we pivoted to virtual events and we've got, you know, hundreds of women that are tuning in from all across the world every Sunday. We're going to be doing our fifth one coming up this weekend, where we bring on female vegan leaders to just talk about, you know, what are they doing right now? How are they handling the pandemic? What did they see for their industry? And it's been really awesome. It's, you know, I think that the virtual events have given us a quicker reach to get women's voices out there that, you know, maybe geographically they wouldn't be able to fly in for an event. So there is a, you know, I do think that there is a silver lining to that.
Yeah. Also, talk to me a little bit more about the first event you had. Who were your people that you brought in?
So we had such an interesting spread of people turned out. The most predominant demographic that came out to our event was certainly the tech industry. So tech professionals were the biggest chunk. We also had a lot of fitness and wellness folks. We had a ton of women in the food industry come out. And then to a lesser extent, legal, nonprofit. We were able to actually, we created some industry demographics out of it because we do capture, you know, where you work and you know, what you do when you sign up to be part of VWS, because we think it's really important to show multi-industry participation. I would say, you know, a couple of things that were really interesting about our demographics for our first summit, we actually polled the different women across all of the age groups, you know, what they thought was most compelling about veganism. And there was very stark differences in the demographics between generation to generation, which I thought was very interesting. So when Gen Zers were polled, our youngest attendees overwhelmingly thought that the environment was the most significant reason to go vegan. When boomers were polled, we had lots and lots and lots of women that indicated women's health and personal health as the most important reason. And then millennials are the ones that really stuck towards like animal and ethics. And it was a very obvious divide. I thought that was very interesting, actually.
That is really interesting because I know I went vegan for the animals, but all the other things, you know, obviously now, like I it's all the things, but definitely animals was what got me. And I guess I'm just on that end, like, I'm just above a millennial, like maybe a year out of millennial, I think. So it's interesting to see that, but I definitely can see those demographics like relating to the weird world too, because I see like a lot of the younger people, the Gen Zers are definitely most concerned about the environment. And then, you know, people like my parents who are almost vegan, it's health mostly. What about your speakers?
So we brought in speakers from all kinds of different industries. We had actresses, we had musicians, we had CEOs, venture capitalists, Olympians. You know, it was really important to me to have a spread of women that were leading in all different industries. And the reason for that is because I believe that every single woman out there that has chosen the road to compassionate, you know, a compassionate lifestyle, I think that they all have their own influence that they can be using. I think everyone's got their own little sphere. It doesn't matter what your job is. Doesn't matter, you know, what you do, where you work. You can influence the people around you and you can become an advocate for the animals and for veganism. But it looks a little different for everyone, right? It looks a little different for if you were in politics. It looks a little different if maybe you work at Starbucks. It looks a little different if, you know, you're an architect. And so we wanted to show women that no matter where you come from, you can join us and you can become vocal and you can get out there. We had tons of women that I spoke to and that we received, you know, surveys and feedback back from. They don't even publicly tell people that they're vegan. We had tons of women that were saying that they were like in the closet at work, so to speak, about veganism because they were just so afraid. They were just so afraid to be out and to be proud and to be able to speak to their coworkers about it. And so finding ways to empower women, you know, to get active just in their own workplaces was a big part of the summit.
Yeah. And what are the other parts of the summit? Like, what do you want attendees to walk away with?
I want women to be inspired. I want women to connect with other women in their community. And I want women to feel like they can go to work on Monday and they can put their vegan self forward. And I want to inspire that confidence and empower women so that they can use whatever mechanisms around them that can influence change, that they're taking advantage of that.
I love that. That's so incredible. You had a lot of really big name sponsors your first year. I think you had Facebook. Who else sponsored the event?
So we had participation from Facebook. We had Postmates. WeWork is one of my anchor sponsors. I work very closely with them. We have this really interesting ecosystem in San Francisco, in particular with the tech industry, where the tech industry has really seen the advantage to supporting, you know, either the plant-based lifestyle or, you know, veganism in general, both from like an employee recruitment standpoint, really kind of showing that they allow for these different, types of cultures in their workforces, as well as the bottom line. You know, it sells to show that you're a sustainable company. And so really kind of utilizing those different angles, you're able to bring in some pretty unlikely suspects to support these types of events.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, having Facebook and Postmates and WeWork for your first event out the gate is huge. Like, how does someone approach somebody like that and say, hey, look, I'm putting together a vegan woman summit. Like, it's so niche, so targeted. How do you convince a company like that the investment's worth their time?
So it's a little different for every company, I think.
Sure.
You have to kind of figure out how it makes sense for the company, right? So WeWork, for instance, WeWork Food Labs. And WeWork Food Labs, if you're not familiar, it's this accelerator ecosystem where they specifically are trying to target food entrepreneurs to join rather than just, you know, the regular offices that they fill. They actually have an entire line of food work. And so for them, being shown as a leader in helping create more female entrepreneurs, it's an obvious fit, right?
Yeah.
But then on the other end, companies like Postmates, for instance, Postmates has a Meatless Mondays initiative.
If you've ever used it. I have no idea.
Yeah, so Postmates actually has an in-app product. Meatless Mondays is something that they do in their app for their, you know, hundreds of or probably millions of customers every week. And so it made sense. I said, well, if you guys have been pushing Meatless Mondays as like a PR thing, then why don't we pivot into supporting like veganism directly?
Yeah.
And so that made sense for them for a branding perspective.
Yeah.
You know, and then Facebook, I've been partnering and doing work with Facebook for a few years now because Facebook, it's more of an employee branding angle. So for them, they actually create what's known as employee resource groups. Are you familiar with employee resource groups?
No, not through Facebook, no.
Okay, so an employee resource group is essentially a sanctioned group that the company allows to, it's basically a social group. That the employees can form together and they're sanctioned by the company. And they sometimes actually give funding to these different groups so that the different recognized demographics in the company can work to support one another. And so you'll often see it with like Black at Facebook, for instance, you know, or you'll see a lot of LGBT groups form in the different tech companies. And so some companies have actually gone so far as to allow for vegans to form these resource groups as well to support one another and build community from within the company. And so, you know, I've been teaming up with their team over at Facebook for a couple years and actually have done a few events with them because it really makes sense for recruiting to show, hey, like join Facebook and you can join any of these really cool different groups that have social causes and we will actually help give you funding so that you can put on events and you can volunteer and you can actually make a difference in these causes that matter to you. Maybe they don't directly matter to Facebook, but they matter to their employees and keeping their employees happy and retained is really important to Facebook.
Wow. That I had no idea that. That's really neat. So how long did this, when did you first have this idea to do the summit?
So I was toying around with this for probably like the second half of last year, you know, trying to figure out how we can bring together veganism and women's empowerment and really a diversity and inclusion. Kind of that's the third piece, right? Mm-hmm. And so I started sending emails December 1.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I'm very good at rallying people. And
yeah, you are.
So yeah, I mean, we got the whole thing off the ground and it was from, you know, idea to execution in 8 weeks, the first one. But, you know, like I said, we've got like a lot bigger plans. That was just so we could like hit the ground running and start to, you know, build the community. You know, we have some really, really neat ideas for what we're going to do globally next. And honestly, we're just kind of, you know, enjoying the virtual programming right now, but looking to see once we can get back out there in person, I think the sky's the limit for what we can do to build the industry and get more women involved and get, it's not even just involved. There's a lot of women that are involved. They're just not loud and out there. And we want to, you know, that's the thing about veganism is there's so many people that you've already sold them. You know, there's so many people that in their heart align with what you're saying, but how do we get them to turn that into external actions, both personally and on a larger scale, make them vocal about it?
Yeah. So with everything now, obviously, like we are, hopefully by the time this airs, we are no longer in shelter in place, but you know, I feel like it changes every week. You talked a bit about how you've been pivoting since the shutdown and everything, and you've started these summits every Sunday. Can you talk a little bit more about those? Because they're quite specific. I know last week you had on Susie Amos. Is that right? Did I just make that name up?
So we had Susie Cameron. Susie Amos Cameron and her sister were on 2 weeks ago. The one that we just actually finished was with Maggie Baird, who is better known as Billie Eilish's mom. And which I feel so bad saying, you know, Maggie Baird, aka Billie Eilish's mom, as well as Nicole Marquise, who's the CEO of Hip City Veg. And we did an entire talk specifically on how they were working to support folks during the COVID-19 pandemic, because mm-hmm. there's some super, super cool stuff that the vegan community is doing to support both vegan businesses as well as, you know, hospital workers and frontline responders.
And what are the plans for the future ones?
So I will, well, by the time this is aired, this will have already happened, but we're actually just getting ready to announce we're doing a really special one this weekend dedicated to Generation Z. And I will be bringing on two teens, which I'm really, really pumped about, so we can talk to some teenage vegan leaders about, yes. you know, their work, how we can help cultivate more vegans in the future generations, as well as kind of how things are going in the shelter in place and how their generation has been, you know, dealing with it. That's the other thing. I think this is, it's very interesting, this moment in time right now, because you know you and I are old enough to remember life-changing moments. We remember 9/11. I'm a little too young to remember the Berlin Wall falling, but this is their first life-changing moment.
Talk about a hell of a life-changing moment, you know.
Exactly right. And so that's what we're going to be talking about, and I'm actually very excited for this one. And I've been, you know, letting people know on the other events, you know, we want to do one where you can bring your daughters and sons too. I want to bring teenagers, you know, to the computer to learn from this. So that's going to be one of the next ones. And then, I've got a few more, some good, I have a few high level, you know, celebrity, names, I think that will be probably thrown in there soon. And
amazing.
Some really cool CEOs, and I want to do a few on entrepreneurship. I think that, you know, we touched a little bit on it when Miyoko and I did a chat, but I think that, you know, when we have this kind of life-changing moment and everything is shifting in the entire world, there's going to be a lot that changes, and there's also going to be a lot of opportunity that comes from it. And I think there's a lot of opportunities for veganism. And so we want to start, you know, teaching women how to get out there and how to seize these opportunities and what kind of businesses they can start building.
Oh, that just gave me the chills. I love that. If so, you mentioned celebrities, how connected are you?
I mean,
I mean, you've got Miyoko, you got Susie Amos Cameron. You're getting some very well-known people to do this.
Yeah, I've got a few more that are even bigger than that, I think, in terms of name recognition. We just have been kind of holding off to find the right moment. I have been fortunate to sit at a lot of tables, be in a lot of conversations. You know, this is kind of just the nature of my work, you know, doing government relations, doing community relations. You meet a lot of people, a lot of high level people. What's really kind of been interesting in terms of, you know, my tech career, there's a lot of celebrities that become like tech investors as well. So yes. I've met some like really at tech events, I've met some pretty high level celebrities that, and then, you know, sometimes they turn out to be vegan. I've met some, you know, I'll tell you a really, really funny story. So I was at an event a few years back for our late mayor. This was at the end of 2017, beginning of 2018. And I was in line to grab a drink at the bar. And there was a guy standing in front of me, and he turns around, and it's Will I Am. I'm like, okay, so cool. Will I Am is standing in front of me right now. I'm going to just play it cool and just pretend like, of course Will.i.am is here. And he goes, nice dress. I'm like, thanks, Will.i.am. You know? And so, and he extends his hand out. He goes, I'm Will. And he's, hi, I'm Jenny, you know, and we start chatting. For whatever reason, Will decided like I'm the one that he's going to chat with. And he says to me, I'm really, really hungry. And I said, yeah, me too. And he goes, I don't think they have any vegan food here. And I go, what? And he goes, yeah, I've been looking for vegan food, but I don't see any. And I just start laughing. I say, you're vegan? Because, yeah, I just went vegan a month ago. I haven't really told anyone yet. Just actually, I think the first time I've mentioned it. And so I'm like, seriously, we're in this room of like several hundred people, like Nancy Pelosi's over here and like Newsom's over here. And you found the vegan in the room to tell this to? This is a 100% true story. And so he starts telling me, he gets so excited he found another vegan. We spent about a half an hour together. He tells me this entire story of how he went away to this retreat and it was all plant-based and had all these different health issues he'd cured and all these things. And I got so excited. I said, so wait, you haven't told anyone yet? Like, can I post this on the internet?
Like, I'm the one to break your news, please.
That's what I said. I'm like, can I break it to the world that you are vegan? And, you know, he goes, yeah, sure, why not? You know, this was such a funny conversation. I asked him, I was like, how is it on touring, you know, eating vegan? He looks at me and he goes, I haven't toured with the Black Eyed Peas in 10 years.
Oh,
I'm like, oh yeah, totally. You know, like I'm not keeping up on like the Black Eyed Peas, but, but yeah. So that was like, that was one of the funnier interactions where I'm like, somehow there must have been like some magnetism, like plant to plant. And, you know, about a month later, he ended up, you know, going public, telling everyone, join the V Gang. And he's actually since put out a Black Eyed Peas album where he sings, there's a song about going vegan on like his new album.
Yes, Will I Am. Way to go.
Yeah. Like, and these are just, you know, this is, like I said, so many, like rap, I've met a lot of rappers actually. There's a lot of folks that have gotten involved in tech and investing. And so you would be surprised when you meet people.
Like, oh, I think that's awesome. I mean, I've met a couple, but it's always just, it's definitely not like at a big event like that. Like, it's just really random.
In Vegas for sure.
Well, yeah, oh yeah. Well, I used to be in PR too. So I used to do PR for, all sorts of random things. And you'd have, all sorts of like random people in PR, you know, you're doing events and they're calling your phone at like midnight, like RSVPing to parties. And you're just like, I mean, it's so cool that this person called me, but also it's midnight, you know? But that's awesome. So if you like, who is your dream person to get as a part of your summit? Or are you already, have you already booked them and you just can't tell anybody yet?
I would say that's an interesting question. I mean, there's a couple that I have in mind that I haven't yet connected to, in terms of inspiring people. I personally, one of my personal heroes is actually Pam Anderson.
Okay.
She was one of the first vegans that I'm from Canada, right? She's one of my fellow Canadians. I actually love Pam. I think she is one of like the old, like most outspoken long time vegan activists that I've ever seen. And I would love to get her. She's such a sweet person too. And then who else am I interested in? I mean, you know, someone like Miley, I think would be really good for getting more Gen Z folks. Because Miley is an ethical vegan, which is really cool. You know, cause you get a lot of celebrities that do it for diet.
Yeah.
You know, so that would be really neat. There is a couple politicians that I think would be really cool. I'm really curious, now that, you know, once the presidential's all done, one of our presidential candidates, we actually had two presidential candidates that were vegan, both Cory Booker and Tulsi Gabbard.
Oh, and I didn't know about Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, Tulsi Gabbard has been a vegetarian her entire life, and has been vegan for like 6 or 7 years now. And she's actually like a CrossFit athlete. And
oh my gosh.
Aside from politics, she's, you know, like she's like two completely different lives. She's really cool too. I think like having some political leaders would be really neat.
I mean, when Cory was running, all I could think of was, oh my gosh, if we have Cory Booker, he's going to be the first vegan president. And I was really excited about that. I was like, so many people will go vegan if he's president.
Well, you know, what's really important to remember, and I'm not sure when this will air, but it probably before November, I'm guessing.
Oh, it certainly will. Yeah.
You know, I just want to make sure that the vegans, you know, you have to think about when we have, obviously Joe Biden is going to be the candidate on the Democratic side. He has an entire cabinet to fill. There is a lot of extremely influential positions that Joe is going to have available. And so, you know, Corey is very close to him. And so there's a lot of opportunities to get vegans into high places beyond just the presidential seat.
That's exciting to me. Just knowing that, you know, Corey, I think his mom lives in Vegas. So while he was, even before he started his campaign, he'd come here quite a bit and he'd always go to, we have a restaurant called Violet's Vegan and he would always go to Violet's and hang out there.
Awesome.
Yeah. He's here quite a bit, or he was, I don't know if he's made any, well, obviously like we wouldn't know now anyway, because no one can go out to eat. he definitely hits up a lot of the vegan restaurants and, right. I think when I mailed him a copy of my last vegan guide to Vegas, like last year, to his office in DC. I was like, oh, I'm gonna send Cory Booker this guide, and maybe he'll come and use it and go to all the restaurants. You know,
I love it.
Yeah.
Have you met Cory in person?
No. I was going. I think you attended the event in LA that he was at. I think you had mentioned it, and I was going to go to that, but something came up, I think, and life just got in the way, and I couldn't go.
We had a number of fundraisers for him here in SF, and we actually did one at Miyoko's Rancho Compasión, at her animal sanctuary. We did a fully vegan one for him, and it was amazing. He even went down and spent time with the rescued pigs and cows, and it was just so heart. My heart was so full that day to see such genuine compassion for animals, you know, because it's very rare that you find a political leader that actually, you know, walks the walk and talks, you know, usually they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Right. Yeah. And to see someone that actually embodies the values that they tout and write legislation for, because I've worked on a number of bills here that are, you know, for animal welfare or you know, getting more plant-based options out there and all that, and a lot of the times the bill sponsors are not actually vegan themselves.
That's interesting. What makes them want to sponsor the bills?
So there's a couple different ways. You know, certainly there's a lot of proponents of like healthy access to food. So we have, especially in like San Francisco, a lot of our political leaders are really big on that. And so they see plant-based options as part of, you know, helping ensure that our children are living healthier lives. So that's like one angle. But the other angle that is kind of interesting that I've seen, and maybe you've seen in recent weeks, is Corey actually got bipartisan support to urge the World Health Organization to close down wet markets. And so he actually got extremely prominent far right-wing Republicans. And so that's kind of interesting. We've seen some Republicans that will very, very vehemently oppose any sorts of pro-dairy or pro farming legislation, because they see it as like anti-capitalist, or they see it as an infringement of freedom of speech. So a good example is like the Dairy Pride Act. And are you familiar with the Dairy Pride Act?
That's where you can't say something's butter if it's not
dairy
butter. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And for very like libertarian leaning folks on the right, which you wouldn't expect to be compassionate to animals at all, well, they don't like the government saying what you can or can't say.
Yeah.
So you find very unlikely bedfellows, I think, in animal rights work. And I think that's important, though. I think it's really important that we make veganism accessible in any means possible, and we use every angle we can. That's why I thought it was extremely crucial for us to get good data on why people thought veganism was compelling at our summit and with our community, because it's different for everyone. So if we can use various approaches and it works, like the animals win in the end.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and at the end of the day, that really is what matters.
So it's a matter of life and death.
It really, yeah. I mean, yeah, it does. What you're involved in a lot of animal rights and in nonprofits. What nonprofits are you currently working with that are animal-based or centric?
So the majority of my time and effort that I put into is with Mercy for Animals.
Yeah.
MFA is, one of the first that I worked with when I got involved with veganism, and that's who I've continued to support and be heavily involved with. I sit on one of their, you know, councils and things like that. I think that MFA, I'll tell you why specifically them. I think that they're doing really, really great work to help promote the vegan lifestyle in a positive way. You know, obviously there's some other groups out there that, you know, they can sometimes do what I call like, they somehow find a way to alienate vegans from within veganism. You know, I don't really think, you know, I don't think we need to be in a place where we're like splicing apart, like, is impossible vegan or is impossible not vegan or this, you know, palm oil make you not a vegan. And so I think there's a lot of nonprofits that waste a lot of valuable energy in, you know, attacking their own community or splintering their own community. And one thing that I really like about MFA is that they put out some really positive content, and they, you know, they've done some great work in the last year or so to be going around showcasing different vegan restaurants and different entrepreneurs, especially entrepreneurs of color that are doing cool things in veganism. And just really like, it's like a PR campaign of like why it's great to join and be one of us. And so, you know, I put all of my time towards that kind of work. But aside from MFA is my main nonprofit, I also do a lot of work with the sanctuaries here in the Bay Area. We have, I think, probably the largest consortium of farm animal sanctuaries.
And we've done
some, we have a lot here. I mean, there's at least 10 that I know of just in the Bay Area alone.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
Yeah. So we've done some cool stuff kind of partnering and bringing them all together. I did this really cool PR mini campaign for them during the Napa fires because our sanctuary are women. They're all founded by women. They actually were going out into the fires and rescuing animals from all over. They rescued hundreds of animals during the Napa fires. And we did a little PR stint and got it put in Time and some really cool outlets. And I framed it as, you know, the women going into the fires and really showed, again, women leaders, right?
Yep.
You know, that it's, and that was the piece that people were interested in. They weren't interested in that, you know, they got to sneak in, by the way, you know, we're vegans and that's what we do.
Yeah.
But the fact that women like were running into fires, saving hundreds and hundreds of animals. I mean, my friend Deb, who's at Goatlandia, the goat, sanctuary up here, she, I think she's like saved like 200 or 300 animals just herself.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. I had a friend doing animal rescue in the LA fires in 2018, and I could just, it's so brave, and it's just, I mean, I definitely like ugly cry when people talk about that, because the amount of work that these people did and the risk they took to save other like living creatures, living beings was just, it was just incredible. Absolutely incredible. So, I mean, that's incredible that every single person that went in there to rescue those animals was females. That's badass. That's so incredible.
Yeah, it really was. And you know, I actually did an event with Airbnb, who's another partner of mine, in January, and we showcased a number of these sanctuaries. We have what's called Airbnb Animal Experiences.
Okay.
It's this platform that they added, and basically they worked with World Animal Protection, and they created some of the most stringent animal welfare policies on the planet. And
wow.
So it was beyond just, you know, banning like captive dolphins and things like that, but it was like, you know, all the stuff that LEC is, you know, touts over at ENP about, you know, elephants, no riding. And so they did this massive overhaul of their tourism platform to remove anything that was exploitive to animals. And they partnered with World Animal Protection. They gave like $100,000 to PETA to approve of their programs. And yeah, like it was really, really cool work. And so I actually did a whole big event showcasing that in January, and we brought out animal experience hosts. And so we brought out, I brought out four of my favorite female vegan leaders that all have, you know, rescues and sanctuaries in town for people to come kind of learn and actually engage directly with the hosts. It was really cool. We actually even had Assembly Member Ash Kalra came.
He's
our vegan. He's our vegan assembly member here in awesome. California. We have a vegan in the California Assembly. Like a lot of people don't even know that. A lot of people don't know that we had actual friends in high places. And no. If there is change that you want to be done, give him a call. This is a person who can write a bill. And if it gets signed by enough of his friends, it is law for almost 40 million people.
I mean, that's pretty sensational.
Absolutely. You know, and so, you know, one of the bills, we talked about the fur ban. Obviously, the fur ban was just such a landmark win.
Oh,
but
gosh,
one of the things he was telling us about was he passed a bill really easily, too, to ban the little travel bottles at, like, hotels, like the little mini shampoos in the state of California. And Marriott and like Hilton and all those folks, a whole bunch of the big brands, when they found out that their California markets weren't allowed to have them, they said, well, that's going to be a pain in the butt to have little bottles in all these other states, but not in this state. Oh, screw it. We'll just get rid of the little bottles for all of North America.
Yes, that's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's the power that you have when you change something as a state, especially if you have a big population like California does. It'll often change it for the entire nation.
I mean, I wish Nevada had that. I don't believe we have any vegan people in any of our political positions. Not that I know of. No one's been outspoken about.
No, but maybe you'll find the other group, the people that don't like their freedom of speech and all of that infringed upon.
We'll go to the opposite side and see if we can just bring them over and pass stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it worked for Cory Booker.
It's not a bad idea. I feel like I need to get more involved in politics in Nevada now because I'm not.
Yeah, that's aside from, you know, obviously doing all this work in veganism and women's empowerment and things like that. There is easy ways to sneak veganism into policies. There really is. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. That's why politicians, I think, would be really interesting to bring into the VWS community.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. So we are actually just about out of time. I would say what's next for you, but I feel like everything is next for you at this point. Like, you've just got some serious plans for as soon as we're out of this pandemic to just hit the ground running. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I have been approached by quite a few big name folks and big companies to partner and see what we can do with VWS. I can't quite tell you some of the things because they're really very much embargoed right now and top secret, but there's some really cool kind of first of its kind. We're going to do some world's first. I promise you that.
I cannot wait to see what you do. Like, I am so excited. I can't wait to come to one of your events as soon as we can leave our houses. How can people find you online?
So we're veganwomensummit.com. We have a newsletter that goes out once a month. It's all things vegan women and all the cool stuff going on. In addition to that, we do all of our exclusive event invitations to our newsletter list first. And then you can also find us on social media at Vegan Women Summit on Instagram, at Vegan Women Summit on Facebook. And I love doing this one, at Veg Women Summit on Twitter.
How does someone take that name?
It wasn't taken. Vegan Women's Summit is too long. They have a character kind of issue. Yeah. So
that makes sense.
So those are our platforms. We do all of our live events are broadcast through Crowdcast. So you can always join us live at any of our virtual gatherings. And what's really cool is we actually do audience Q&A. So we take your questions directly and ask our speakers at the end of each event.
Very, very cool. Jenny Stojkovic, Vegan Woman Summit. Thank you so much for your time. I cannot wait to meet you in real life. And thank you for being a part of this.
Thanks so much. Thank you for doing what you're doing and corralling all these cool people together.
Well, you're welcome, but thank you. All right. Stay tuned. If you want show notes, you can go to veganzibby.com and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of The Good Fork. I am host Diana Edelman of Vegan's Baby. I appreciate you all so much For more on this episode and other show notes, head over to vegansbaby.com and click on the Good Fork podcast. And for more vegan dining, vegan news, and where to go eat in Vegas and beyond, head over to vegansbaby.com. Have a great one. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of The Good Fork. I am host Diana Edelman of Vegans Baby. I appreciate you all so much. For more on this episode and other show notes, head over to vegansbaby.com and click on the Good Fork podcast. And for more vegan dining, vegan news, and where to go eat in Vegas and beyond, head over to vegansbaby.com. Have a great one.